I'm Gabe Ortiz, afternoon host at WIPR. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make the live streams like this one more difficult to maintain. Stand up for public media and help fortify WIPR's future. Find out more and donate at WIPR.org. Thank you.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, Baltimore City Council President Zeke Cohen will join me. We'll check in on issues that the council and the Board of Estimates are wrestling with, including a controversial single-source contract that the board will consider this week. Plus, the author Elizabeth Evatts talks about her new biography of the fashion designer Claire McCardle, who grew up in Frederick. So that's coming up tomorrow. And joining me now, the actor Rachel Hilson. She grew up in Baltimore and graduated from the Baltimore School for the Arts and NYU. She's had lots of roles on television and in movies, including shows like This Is Us and The Good Wife and Hulu's Love, Victor. Her film credits include Red, White, and Royal Blue and an upcoming film with Will Ferrell, Judgment Day. Rachel Hilson joins me today to talk about her latest project, Duster, which is currently streaming on HBO Max. Rachel plays an FBI agent who's tracking down a crime kingpin. It's a high-energy drama set in the early 1970s. Here's a taste.
Where are we going?
Who's the driver?
There she is. The rookie who thinks she can take down the Southwest Al Capone.
Hold it. Oh, I got you. You don't get to where Saxton is without leaving a trail of bodies.
Saxton killed my brother.
What if he did?
I'll kill him myself. She's a problem.
Rachel Hilson and I spoke last week. She joined me in Studio B. It's great to see you, and congratulations on this new show.
Oh, it's so good to see you too, Tom. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here.
Duster. Is the name of a car.
It is.
And it's the name of this series on HBO. Let's talk about that first. It's an FBI crime drama, but tell us about your character, Nina.
Yeah, it's you know, being described as a high-octane thriller. I am playing a character named Special Agent Nina Hayes, who comes from Baltimore, and she is sent to Phoenix to take down this crime syndicate, kind of like a desert mafia, led by Keith David. And she enlists, in quotes, the help of a getaway driver named Josh Holloway, or not named Jim, played by Josh Holloway. And Nina's, yeah, she's a firecracker. She's a badass. I guess at her core, she's a wounded little girl who's trying to get revenge and justice for the death of her father. But she's, she's fun. I've never gotten to play somebody so just cool and so confident and just in her body. There's a lot of colors that we get to see of her, but she's just a badass.
Yeah. This takes place in 1972, mm-hmm. Just as the Watergate drama is unfolding. How did you prepare for this role?
First I started with my closest sources, my parents.
Because they knew the 70s.
They knew the 70s a bit, yeah. I talked to them just about that time. It's funny, I asked my mom, one of the first questions I asked her was if she thought that things were better in the 70s or now. And this was, I guess, 2023. And her answer was that she felt like, at least in the 70s, there was more of an upward trajectory. And so that's kind of where I started. And then I read books on Nixon, books on the Black Panthers. I watched a lot of movies from the 60s and 70s. And then I got to work with an FBI consultant, a former agent named Jerry Williams, who was also a black woman who joined in the early 80s. And she was just a wealth of knowledge and stories. I learned how to work with a gun. I did a lot of just exercise and training. There were a lot of little pieces, but the research was really fun for me, honestly.
Yeah, and, you know, your parents, I happen to know they know the 70s because I know your parents.
You do know them, yeah.
And full disclosure, I've known you since you were a little girl, always interested in theater. You and your sister, Kimmy, the two of the most talented young people Linnell and I have ever known. It's just wonderful for us. And we, by the way, Linnell and I just love this series. It's terrific.
Yay.
And it's... revelatory and surprising. You know, there are things, you know, because HBO doesn't let you binge. You know, they dish them out once a week.
Yep.
So we're up to number 4 as we speak today, and really enjoying the twists and turns of the plot, but also the complexity of your character, Nina, because this is not only a big case, but you're fresh out of FBI training school.
Yeah.
So you are young, you are black, you are not well received by the slightly older white guys in the FBI office in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. You've got all sorts of barriers to overcome. And I would imagine that for an actor that kind of complexity behind what's going on in Nina's mind has got to be fun.
Yeah.
And hard.
Yeah, all of those things. It's nice to get to explore just the layers of, you know, any human. You know, you don't always get a three-dimensional character to play, or at least I've gotten to play a lot of wonderful characters, but I think Nina is the most layered. She's, you know, she is a black woman in the 70s. She's pursuing... a case that is so near to her, so close to her heart and to her family, and then she's got this layer of misogynoir, the misogyny and racism in this world, and so she's got a lot against her, and it's uncomfortable sometimes to play roles like that, but I'm also a black woman. I have been most of my life, black girl, I guess now a black woman. And so it's not like I've not experienced these things before.
And you've actually studied this, right? I mean, when you went to NYU, it's interesting. You're an actor, but you didn't go to the Tisch School. You didn't go to the acting part. You were already acting when you were in college. You were getting jobs and stuff. But you kind of had a specialized degree. I mean, that's how it appears to me, you know, as we've talked about it, where you studied race. You studied the impact of race, not only in your profession, but more widely. Did that help? I mean, did you draw on a lot of that research you had done back as a college student?
Yeah. I went to Gallatin at NYU, and my concentration, we get to create our own major, create our curriculum, and the title of my studies was Writing and Performing Race. And so it was a lot of just sort of the performance of identity, and you know, that's not that's all of us throughout all of our lives, throughout every generation. We're always performing some version of identity, and so that's definitely true of Nina Hayes. I think that's also true of her because she, you know, we get to see in the show these scenes where she's a bit more vulnerable and where she's sort of taking down the mask that she has up for most of the show, this mask of confidence and she's not afraid. She doesn't take no for an answer ever. And that comes down eventually because that is a performance. And sometimes we have to put on these masks in order to achieve what we want to achieve. So that's a part of it for sure. A part of this this overall performance of being a human. We're never exactly what we present.
To be sure. And it is a diverse cast. There's a Native American who plays your partner. Mm-hmm. The Kingpin is an African American guy. Josh Holloway is a white guy. Have you ever worked with Josh Holloway before?
No, I've not worked with any of these cast members at all, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Josh was great, though. Everybody was just so wonderful to work with. I learned a lot from everyone.
Good camaraderie on the set?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just a really just a really pleasant set to be on. Yeah, we got very lucky in that regard. Yeah, I think everybody wanted to be there because this has been a project a very long time in the making, and I think everybody was just excited to, you know, be here and getting it done. And you know, we worked through the strike, and so we started and we got through like maybe 2 or 3 months of work, and then we had like an 8 month break. And then we had to come back and finish the last 3 or 4 months. And so especially on the back end, everybody was just really, really excited to be back at all.
So this was a month-long project then.
Yeah. I mean, Josh was the first one called about this because he and J.J. Abrams had worked together before. And J.J. called him, I think, in 2020. And then I auditioned for this in 2022. We started filming in March 2023 and then finished filming in April 2024.
And J.J. Abrams has quite the pedigree when it comes to television. He's done some big, big hit shows. What work of his were you familiar with, and what was that audition like?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really cool about J.J. is that he's always really championed the heroine, the female lead between Alias and Felicity, and so I was familiar with those. I was familiar with Alias, and then you know, I'd seen clips of Lost, but I was never really a Lostie until.
And Josh Holloway was in Lost.
Josh,
right?
Holloway was in Lost. He played Sawyer in Lost, which was you know, he's a very celebrated character, a very beloved character in that show. But I think my background with J.J., yes, was I watched Alias, and I watched more of his movies, Super 8, which was a more recent one that I was a huge fan of. But I've since become a huge fan as well. And then our co-creator, LaToya Morgan, is also extremely accomplished as a writer in her own right. She's also a Black woman, and she's written comics and written for a whole bunch of TV shows, and it's just amazing.
The actor Rachel Hilson. Will have more with Rachel on the other side of a quick break. Our conversation was recorded last week, so we can't take any calls or online comments today. I'm Tom Hall. It's Midday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, my guest is the actor Rachel Hilson. She's a Baltimore native, a graduate of the Baltimore School for the Arts, and she is currently starring in the HBO Max show Duster. New episodes drop every Thursday. We spoke last week because we pre-recorded our conversation. We can't take any calls or online comments today. So how does a role like this come to you? Tell us a little bit about that audition. You've been on a bunch of TV shows, you've been in a bunch of movies, but this is it seems to me, kind of a breakout role for you in that you are really carrying this show. You and Josh Holloway, the two stars of it, are really carrying it. How did it come to be? You said you auditioned in 2022. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I auditioned in November 2022. Got the notice from my agents. You get an email saying self-tape or audition for whatever the project is. And this one at the time was called Sandy because they sometimes use like a decoy name. And I sent in a self-tape. And then I heard back maybe a month later.
And a self-tape is something you've got to tape yourself.
So a self-tape is a...
Do they give you a script to read?
Yeah, so they give you... little excerpts from the script, because they don't typically send you the whole script, I guess for privacy reasons, or they just want to maintain the...
They don't trust anybody.
They don't trust anybody, yeah. So I got about three scenes from the show, which were the first scene of the show, and then the first time I meet Josh, and then the first time I meet Awan. And so I recorded those.
Partner.
He's my partner, yes. So I recorded those, I sent them, didn't hear for about a month. They asked me to send the tapes again with some changes. And then after that, I got a chemistry read with Josh. And so I went into the Bad Robot Studios, which is JJ's company, and auditioned with JJ and LaToya and Josh. And
let's listen to that first scene. This is not your audition tape. This is what ended
I was
up
like, wait.
In the final edit. This is the scene in which you meet your co-star, Josh Holloway, who plays the driver for the bad guy, yeah. Jim Ellis.
Do I know you?
You'd remember.
So where are we going?
Well, that's up to you. I was warned not to come see you. That'd be a waste of my time. That you're nothing but a loyal driver without any common sense.
Well, sister, I do love my job.
More than Luna? Something tells me your loyalty isn't just with Ezra Saxton. Interstate transportation of stolen property is a violation of federal law with a sentence of up to 10 years in prison. And when that stolen property is a human organ, well, it's another 5 years. That little girl will be in her 20s before you can take her for another ride to get some cinnamon chips.
What do you want?
Informant contract. Sign it. Work with me to build a case against Ezra Saxton, and I'll do everything I can to keep you out of prison.
How long you been at this? That badge Wallace barely got a crease.
It's my second day.
No kidding. Day two. Well, here's a little heads up. You're gonna have a day three.
That's a great scene. You're essentially blackmailing him into helping the FBI take down the person he works for.
You know, she does what she has to do.
Yeah. The dog eat
dog
world.
You missed just before, she says she's from Baltimore.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I mean, it seems that J.J. Abrams may have even adapted the script a little bit to fit your background, because the character, Jim Ellis, refers to you as Baltimore, doesn't call you by your name.
This is true. However, that was how it was written.
Was it? So
yeah,
it was written
Nina
like that.
Was always from Baltimore. Nina always was a graduate of Morgan State University. It just kind of was a kismet.
Yeah,
how that happened. Yeah,
I mean, but he was aware that you were in fact from Baltimore, right?
He learned that during my chemistry read when I met him in person. Yeah.
So what's a chemistry read like? I mean, you know, it seems like it could be the most awkward speed date in the world. I mean, you know, how do you know you have chemistry with somebody?
I mean, that's kind of what they're for. You basically go in with either somebody who's already been cast, or maybe there are a few sets of actors who they're just trying to mix and match and see, you know, who meshes the best. But yeah, you just go in and you kind of wing it and hope for the best.
But again, they give you and Josh Holloway a script.
The same script, yes. Yeah. We have the same script. We prepare the script ahead of time. And then, yeah, we sort of meet on the spot. If we're lucky, we might meet like in the waiting room or something. But Josh and I, he walked in. And we did the scene. That was our first
scene. So you didn't get to hang out.
We did not.
You didn't have a cup of coffee and say, hey, guys, what are you going to do? What do you think? What do you think about this character?
Yeah, because, like, I think they ultimately, it could not go your way. And so it's not like they're necessarily trying to create a real relationship just yet. That came later once I learned that I got the role and then we spent some time together. But I think they're trying to see just what naturally comes of your dynamic.
And when you work with, you know, an actor like Will Ferrell, mm-hmm. he's the person in the big star in your latest movie called mm-hmm. Judgment Day. It's not out yet. It's not going to be out for a while, I assume. What's that like, you know, when there's a person whose fame is just so established and international and your fame is growing by the day? Mm-hmm. I suppose everybody is different and every relationship is different, but when it comes to being on a set with somebody who's got that kind of clout in the business. Does it change the way you approach that job?
Ooh, I mean, I think it's kind of, I think everybody has the experience of, you know, meeting somebody that they really respect and coming in with obviously some nerves and, you know, he's such a nice guy. You know, he comes in with his own set of nerves to any new job too. He told us that, me and a couple of my cast members, and so he was really kind. But yeah, you just want to. I think I want to come in and be there to work, be there to do my job as best as I can. But yeah, you want to rise to the occasion. You want to meet the moment. Of course, we all had the same first day, which was really nice. Because I think we were all sort of like there and getting to know each other, because I think most actors, however much clout or fame you have, there is still that level of those nerves. And I think that's what like keeps us going, honestly, because that's like, if you're not nervous anymore, you know, you might not care so much.
Yeah, that's a real danger. Rachel Hilson is my guest. She is an actor here from Baltimore. She is the star or co-star of a new series on HBO Max called Duster. They have new episodes that drop every Thursday night. You're 29 years old, but you've been at this business now for quite a while. How old were you when you got your first like TV job?
I think I was 14, maybe. Yeah.
So 15 years you've been in the business and, you know, doing the auditions and being on different sets with different directors and different vibes and different casts. And what do you think you've picked up? I mean, from your days, and 14 was when you sort of started at the School for the Arts, too. I mean, you were, you know, probably that was one of your first years there.
Yeah.
You know, what's different now? And that you're starting to get these, you know, much bigger deal roles. You're not an overnight sensation if you've been at something for 15 years, but clearly your career is on a trajectory that's doing really beautifully now, which is very moving for those of us who've known you for a long time. But what's different about it now that you've got more experience in this business?
I mean, I think I think I just have more. I have more knowledge, more confidence, maybe more knowledge of this industry, because it's not, you know, it's not the easiest industry at all. I came in rather naive. I remember I got my first two auditions. Like, I booked my first two auditions, and so I think right after that I was like, oh, this is like easy. I can piece of cake. I'll start acting, because I wanted to be a dancer for a lot of my life, and so when you know, acting sort of came into the picture and it felt like it was a piece of cake, I was very excited. But obviously, over the last 15 years, it's not been a cakewalk per se. There's been a lot of rejection, but I think I've learned that, you know, the passion has to be there, and I've been lucky that it's remained this long, because I do love what I do. I feel like that's what keeps me going. I've learned to really you know, appreciate the downtime as well that I have, the ebbs and flows, because, you know, that's where life happens, and then the life that you have informs the roles that you play. And so I think it's just enjoying the you have to enjoy the journey of it, and I think that's what I've learned.
You grew up on the East Coast here in Baltimore, and you've chosen to live in New York rather than L.A. I mean, a lot of folks in the TV and movie part of this business are in the L.A. area. What's behind that decision to live in New York instead of there?
Well, I did live in L.A. for about 3 years, the pandemic years. I was there from about the end of 2019 to 2023, which is when I started shooting Duster. I think ultimately my move back to the East Coast was informed by my sister, who had a baby, to be a bit closer to home for that reason. And then I think
a
I just...
A beautiful baby at
a
that.
A beautiful, beautiful baby girl. Shout out to Savannah and Kim. So I think I just feel more at home on the East Coast. I think that it's a different... It's just a different vibe. You just feel like you... I just feel like I sink into it a little bit easier for now. I mean, I love LA. I do. I could see myself back there, but there's also theater. There's just, you know, there's just an energy in New York that you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah. Your experience at the School for the Arts, how would you say that has, you know, been determinative of your career, and how has it informed your approach to acting? I mean, you work with all sorts of folks at the School for the Arts and did a lot of different things there mm-hmm. when you were a student. Talk about how that matters to you as an artist.
Yeah, I think it's where I really got to hone in on this craft, really gather just the tools to bring into my jobs. I actually worked with one of my teachers from BSA on Duster. We would do some little coaching sessions every couple weeks. You know, I think there's nothing like being in class. I just started an improv class in New York, and you know, it's just like you just learn, you just become, you know, better. I love being in school. I love being at BSA. I think that's where I completely transformed.
Rachel Hilson. New episodes of Duster drop every Thursday night on HBO Max. Congratulations on this project and all the other projects that you've accumulated so far, and we look forward to the next ones. It's really great to see you. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Tom. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, my guest will be Baltimore City Council President Zeke Cohen and local author Elizabeth Evitz, who's written a new biography of Claire McCardle, a fashion designer who grew up in Frederick. Fresh Air is up after the news, so stick around for that. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.